Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something small that can make a huge difference in your arrangement. A warp tape hiss atmosphere that feels alive, gritty, and intentional, but still runs light on CPU and Ableton Live 12. This is the kind of layer that makes jungle, old-school inspired D&B, dark rollers, and stripped-back club tracks feel more haunted and more expensive at the same time. It is not just background noise. It is arrangement glue. It can carry an intro, fill the gaps between snares, add pressure before a drop, and help the whole track feel like one continuous performance. So the goal here is simple. We want a hiss layer that feels like worn tape, slightly unstable, filtered, moving, and musical. It should sit above the drums and bass, not fight them. And it should be useful in the arrangement, not just pretty and solo. Start with a simple source. That could be a tape hiss sample, vinyl noise, room noise, or even a short atmospheric field recording with the obvious bits removed. The best source is usually plain. You want continuous texture, not clicks, vocal fragments, or tonal hums that will get distracting once we start warping. Trim it to a few bars of usable material and put it on its own audio track. If the source is too static, that is fine. The warp and processing are going to give it character. Now turn warp on. For this kind of texture, a smoother mode like Complex Pro can give you a floating bed, while texture or repitch can give you a rougher, more vintage feel. Which one you choose depends on the track. What to listen for here? Does the hiss stay like a steadied atmosphere, or does it start fluttering in a way that sounds like an obvious effect? If it turns into chorus-like wobble or digital smear, you've gone too far. For cleaner dark rollers, stay smoother. For raw jungle energy, a little roughness can be perfect. Now keep the processing light. You do not need a big chain here. In fact, the less you do, the better the result often feels. A strong stock device chain could be auto filter, saturator, maybe phaser flanger or frequency shifter, if you want movement and utility to keep the level under control. A very safe starting chain is auto filter into saturator into utility. Use auto filter first to clear the low end. A high pass around 200 to 400 Hz is a great starting point, because that immediately makes space for the kick, snare, and bass. If the hiss is too bright, add a gentle low pass or narrow the band a little so it feels more intentional. Then add saturator with just a touch of drive. We are talking subtle tape-like roughness, not heavy distortion. Usually a few dB is enough. If it starts sounding like harsh white noise, back off. Keep the output matched so you are not tricked by volume. Then use utility to pull the gain down if needed, and to keep the layer narrow. That narrowness is important. A wide noisy layer can blur the center of the mix and make the snare and bass feel less focused. Why this works in D&B is pretty simple. The drums and bass already carry a huge amount of movement and rhythm. So instead of stacking more heavy processing, we use a filtered, lightly saturated hiss layer to add atmosphere without stealing transient attention from the break or the sub. If you want more swirl, you can try a light phaser flanger before the saturator. Keep it slow and subtle. This is great for intros and breakdowns, where you want the hiss to feel like it's breathing with the bar line. Just remember, if it becomes obviously affected, it's probably too much for this job. Now let's shape the tone so it actually fits the mix. Bring in EQ8 or keep using auto filter and carve away anything unnecessary in the low and low mid area. Again, 200 to 400 Hz is often where you begin. Then check the upper mids. If the hiss is masking the snare crack or hi-hat bite, make a gentle dip somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz. That area is where things start to get competitive very quickly. What to listen for? With a kick and sub playing, does the hiss feel like a frame around the drums, or does it feel like a blanket on top of them? If the low end loses focus, the hiss is too full range or too loud. If the snare starts sounding dull, you probably need to carve a little more around the upper mids or reduce the hiss during the snare hits. Now for the real musical move, automation. This is where the layer stops being a static noise bed and starts becoming part of the arrangement. Automate the filter cutoff, the track volume, and maybe one more parameter like saturator drive or phaser flanger amount over 8 or 16 bars. A very useful phrasing move is to start with a narrow, filtered hiss, then slowly open it up as the section builds. Let it peak around the transition, then thin it back out so the drop can take over. That contrast is the whole game. For old-school jungle energy, a great trick is to let the hiss rise into the pre-drop, then cut it hard on the first downbeat of the drop. The absence of the noise makes the drums hit harder. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is remove something right before impact. And if you want a more haunted vibe, try tiny volume swells every 2 or 4 bars. Not fast movement, just enough to make it feel like the atmosphere is breathing with the phrase. Keep the movement slow. The listener should feel it more than they consciously notice it. Now bring in the drums and bass and test it properly in context. This is the real checkpoint. A hiss layer can sound amazing on its own and still ruin the balance once the break and sub are active. So audition it with the full groove. Check whether it blurs the snare edge, whether it fights the hi-hats, and whether it makes the bass feel smaller. If the snare loses punch, reduce the 2 to 5 kHz area or pull the track down. If the hats get masked, narrow the bandwidth and shave a bit off the top. If the bass feels less anchored, high pass more aggressively and narrow the width even further. What to listen for? The drums should still be the loudest rhythm in the track, and the sub should still feel physically stable. If the hiss is the first thing you notice, it is too forward. It needs to support the track, not sit on top of it. At this point, think about the arrangement itself. In DNB, atmosphere earns its place through phrasing. Try using the hiss as a structural tool. Let it be strongest in the intro, maybe almost alone at first. Then bring in break fragments underneath it. Before the drop, open it up. On the drop, cut it back hard. In the breakdown, bring it back in darker and more filtered. For the second drop, change one thing so the return feels evolved. That one change might be a different warp mode, a slightly rougher saturation setting, a narrower stereo field, or a new filter position. You do not need to reinvent the sound. You just need to give it a new role. And here's a helpful rule for DNB arrangements. If the drums are busy, the hiss should be simpler. If the drums strip back, the hiss can be more expressive. That keeps the track readable and stops the atmosphere from turning into clutter. If you are working fast, it is often smart to freeze or bounce the hiss once the phrasing feels right. That saves CPU and locks in the vibe. In real sessions, that is usually the move once the layer is doing its job. Don't let a noise bed become a permanent CPU tax. You can also keep two versions ready. A safe version for the main drop and a dirtier, more warped version for intros, breakdowns, or switch-ups. That gives you contrast without having to build a brand new sound every time. A few pro habits make this even stronger. Try letting the hiss leave tiny gaps around the snare. That negative space can make the snare feel sharper without changing the drum sample at all. And if you're using chopped breaks, let the hiss sit under the quieter spaces instead of fighting the densest transient clusters. That keeps the groove readable. If the layer starts feeling harsh at louder levels, don't just keep cutting highs blindly. Sometimes the real issue is a small upper mid buildup, or the fact that the volume is simply too high in the first place. Check it at a low listening level, a normal level, and a louder clubbish level. If it still feels musical at all three, you're in a very good place. And if you need a quick creative shortcut, think in terms of a safe version and a toxic version. Safe means filtered, narrow, and ready for the main drop. Toxic means rougher, brighter, or more warped for the intro or breakdown. That separation makes arrangement decisions much easier. Now let's land this with a simple practical exercise. Build one 16-bar section, where the hiss rises into the drop and then gets cut or reduced on the first downbeat. Use only Ableton stock devices. Keep the chain short. Keep the layer from masking the kick, snare, or sub. Then make one clear difference between the intro version and the drop version. If you want to push it further, build two distinct hiss rolls for the same 16 bars, one for tension, one for drop support. Change at least two meaningful things between them, like tone, width, warp feel, or automation shape. That's the kind of detail that makes the track feel alive. So to recap, start with a simple hiss source, warp it in a way that matches the vibe, keep the CPU load light with stock devices, filter out the problem areas, and let automation turn it into a phrase-based atmosphere. Keep it narrow enough to protect the center, let it support the drums instead of fighting them, and use contrast to make the drop feel bigger. In jungle and old school inspired DNB, the best hiss layers feel controlled, haunted, and deliberate, like they were always part of the record. Now go build the 16-bar version. Test it with your drums and sub, and listen for the moment where the track suddenly feels older, darker, and more dangerous. That's the sweet spot.